Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, boys and girls. This is like some sort of fucking Jimmy Savile intro or something. Ridiculous. Oh, anyway, hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Snugcast. Jesus has risen. Jesus has been died again. Oh, what a farce. How are you getting on, everyone? Thanks for tuning in to the boys. It's just the two of us sit here this week. We may or may not be joined by a special guest at some stage. But don't get your hopes up. DJ, how are you getting on?
Not too bad. I was just checking here to see if my volume has turned up fully, or else if I just can't hear for some reason. But the volume's up full, so maybe I just need to blow my nose or something. But other than that, I'm fine. I really liked your intro, Jesus Has Risen, and referring to our listeners as boys and girls.
I kind of mix up a few things there. I didn't really know what I was doing with the boys and girls thing, but I also... we seem to be kind of recording in advance now, and even though today is Easter Sunday, so we're right on the money now with this now. But I'm just anticipating when the lads are going to be hearing tomorrow, Easter Monday, you know, obviously.
I love the way we're putting no pressure on ourselves to edit this in a timely fashion at all. I love it.
No, not at all. Been a good week. Been a good good few trips to plinths and to a load of fridges and a load of displays of cans. And our Pilsner Prowl is still ongoing, isn't it, DJ? I've really enjoyed it. Well, I had a bit of a nightmare there earlier on today, but overall it's been quite fun going in. I think there was a bit where we had, last week we had an absolute welt. And then we both ended up drinking them all after the last podcast. So yeah. We were completely out of them and didn't take any notes on the last ones, which actually probably wasn't a good idea. We could have just fluffed our way through this one, you know, and lied to people. But yeah, that's not our style.
No, we don't lie to listeners. To be quite honest with you, that's exactly what happened. I was because the Pilsner I'm drinking tonight, I had a bottle of it after, I had a couple of bottles of it, and they were meant for you and for me. And I just drank them all. And then, of course, I was off. We didn't go to the Pint this week because I was off for the day that we normally go. So we were trying to and you would think, right, we'd be arranged between the two of us. We'd have it arranged. This is the pills that we're drinking this week. Let's go and get it. We can both go. We know what it is. We can both go to the same place and get it. But no, we just...
No, that's too easy. So
far too easy. So we're going to mix it up this week. We're both drinking a different Pilsner. We want to try and go through the scoring to and then we'll have a surprise next week. But I'm really excited about this because as you said, really good week, and a week that included me bumping into Julie Ward, the legend that looks after the wine and beer in Ardkeen Quality Food Store. Also quality beer and wine store as well, lads.
Oh, good.
Pick some stuff up, get some cheese, get some nice cheese to go with your wine, get some nice anything to eat at all to go with your beer. You can't go wrong. But Julie recommended this Pilsner, because I was like, any Pilsners, Julie? Like, talking about, like, there's a raft of new Pilsners being released by Irish breweries at the moment. But she pointed me in the direction of one in particular that I might not have come across if she didn't. I'm very grateful to her for it, because I've become obsessed with it. But we'll get into that in a minute. But like, the week has been really, really good. Plenty of crack this week. And I think, you know what, I think like the public mood is getting like we're going to try and continue the theme of escapism from last week, because the public mood is kind of getting into this fed upness state of mind. But I found like, I'm just in this like, fuck it, I'm going to make the most of every day, like have a bit of crack, have a bit of fun, like control what I can. And what I can control is the beer that I'm buying, and allowing that to be top quality, so it influences the crack even more.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for the off licenses being open. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, everything else might be closed around you, but happy for them. And yeah, you know, you're dead right. I like to live in that model as well, of just being happy with what you have and let's go for it.
And to tie in with your intro, like, bless us, O Lord, for this bountiful beer, like, you know?
Yeah. Bless us, O Lord, for these pints we drink.
Amen.
What will we do? Will we go back and forth between the two of them? We'll go category by category, right? What's the name of your guy there, DJ?
Right, so this is going to take a bit of pronunciation.
So and spelling, please.
Actually, this is ideal, because we're going to be releasing this at Easter. We've already made several Jesus references. And this Pilsner that I'm drinking this week is called the Eucarious Pils.
Eucarious Pils. Okay. Good stuff.
Eucarious Pils. It's a 4.9% beauty from Klosterbrauerei Weissenhohe, I think is how you pronounce it. I think it's like a monk's gaff in some part of Germany somewhere. And it's... Do you know what it is? It's the Buckfast of Pilsners. And I mean that in the most complimentary of fashion.
Go on.
It's just an all-around cracking Pilsner. And I'm really looking forward to scoring it, because I've tried to drink it last week and so far tonight without the prejudice of the Pilsner Proud scoring system in my mind.
Mm.
I haven't thought it through. So when you ask me about it, I'm going to have to think about it then. But I'm like, you know what? It is actually a proper German regional Pilsner. So it's fucking everything you want, man.
Class. And I am on a...
Tell your story first about
how... Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So... there was a massive panic there in Snugcast HQ earlier on there today, because I didn't have a Pilsner ready. We were like, look, geez, we're only about fourth week of the Pilsner Prowl. And if we come on now to a podcast and do a podcast without me having one, like, it's going to be a shambles. And I always was a shambles. So, I was like going around looking for Pilsners, and like it is. So as I was saying at the top of the podcast there, that like it was quite easy. There was like a wealth of like Pilsners like last week, and that we ended up just drinking after the last podcast. But like, there's been like, I don't know, have breweries just been banning them or something since Offie's been banning them since the podcast has been released, because we couldn't find them anywhere, like, you know. So I was going around Kildare there today, trying to find a pilsner. Obviously, an independently brewed pilsner. I wasn't going elsewhere, but yeah, couldn't find one. So yeah, text EJ and we were like, oh look, sure, we won't do a podcast tonight. We'll end up just having a chat ourselves, non-recorded. So then, like maybe 5 minutes before we're about to come on air, there I was like, sure, I'll get my beers ready for the podcast. So took out what I bought on Thursday in Grady's Yard, their off license there. And I bought this, it's called Audio Visual Lager, and it is from Collective Arts Brewing Company, who are based in Hamilton in Ontario in Canada. So I suppose, like, with probably European law or whatever, like everything that we consume has to have like all the ingredients on it. So like normally, like what I was doing for like a lot of the other pilsners, where it doesn't actually specifically say pilsner on the can, I was looking to see like, does it have a pilsner malt in it? But this one didn't have anything written on it. And like, you know, pilsners aren't in the majority of the lagers. So I was just like, all right, okay, grand, this just isn't a pilsner. But then when I like looked up, basically 5 minutes before the podcast, I was like, oh, I better just check now the ingredients of this. And lo and behold, pilsner malt in this bad boy, and save the day. You're listening to this podcast now because of my last minute Google searching. This can is, so I don't know, DJ, you can see it there. It's kind of like, this funky artwork on it, right? So like this crowd, it's like Collective Arts. So basically it's like, they're kind of like teamed up with, local artists and stuff, or like artists around Canada. And like every 3 months they end up like switching the designer on the can. So like it's just like a random fucking artwork on the can. Like it's nothing to do with the beer at all. So they just like help promote a local artist, which is pretty cool. We'll tip into it. So
that's cool. Just before you go on, Owen, I just want to say, like, in complete contrast to your like cool modern artistic can, I have this bottle that is like the most like old German monastery bottle ever.
Yeah, it's cool. It even has that kind of, it looks like kind of like, nearly like pencil artwork on the front, isn't it? Like someone has kind of just sketched what is the front of it? Is it like, it looks nearly like a beer tent or something, is it? No?
No. It's not at all. It's like, it's almost like a little town with a church and a monastery in the hill.
Oh, that'll make sense.
Yeah, it's a drawing from some fella, Kloster Vesenob, in 1700, of wherever this stuff is brewed.
And like it of course is in like a brown glass bottle. Like
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's like, you know, it's probably poured in by the monks themselves, like behind, you know.
Yeah, that's the one. So for the ghoulin' jig, what are you giving her?
Oh,
getting them shoulders going. What's getting them shoulders going, right?
So what are we writing this out of again?
This is rated out of your 5 for 16 is your top.
Oh yeah, well, do you know what this has? So it gets the ghoulins going. They're the full 500 ml bottles, so a good value for the bottle. It's like, I cannot emphasize the sessionability of this pilsner for a 4.9er enough. So I'm going full whack, 5 for 16.
Jesus. Oh my days. 5 for 16.
I would happily drink this all summer long. Happily.
5 for 16. Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's good going, isn't it?
Well, I mean, like, you know.
It's getting you, like, reared for the night out, like, you know, you're.
Like, genuinely, I was so excited for drinking more than one of these. Like, and that's the ghoul and jig is, like, get me going, you know.
Mm.
That when I went into Arkane stores to buy them today, there was one in the fridge. And I saw Julie. Well, Julie actually would start talking to me. And I was like, oh, there's only one here. So the guy who was stacking the fridge next to it, in fairness to him, was like, hold on. He's like, I have some more in the trolley upstairs. I'll go get them for you if you want. And normally I'd be do the real Irish thing of like, no, don't be stupid. Jesus, no, no.
But this time
like,
you said,
I was like,
drop whatever you have son. Now.
Yes, get me some more. Get me some more. I can't get enough of these. So like, and even the guy who was stacking that majestic beer fridge in Arkane Quality Food Store, when he brought the box down, he was like, I was happy to get them because I know how good they are. He was like, these are my go-to in the fridge. So I was a bit like, whoa, like, you know what? This Eucarious Pills really is the Lamb of God.
Wow. Wow.
So 5 for 16 for me for this. So
yeah.
Chart that down in your spreadsheet.
I think I did. I have it down. Have her down. Have her down.
So, Owen, your Pilsner, what are we talking about?
So, like, I know the audio-visual listeners are... The audio listeners, I'm drinking audio-visual lager. But the audio listeners can see my ghoulings, my shoulders now, right? But you can, DJ. How are my shoulders?
They're very still.
Still out. Still,
they're sitting at the side of the polka. They're not doing the jig.
So, what I'd say, I'd probably give it one. I'd probably buy one can for maybe 280.
Okay, 1 for 280. That's a worse score so far.
Yeah, 1 for 280, yeah.
But look, like, I'm actually looking up Hamilton in Ontario there, and like, to be 100% honest with you, I wouldn't be bothered about not going there. There's way better parts of Canada by the look of it. So I won't be let's insult them away.
Yeah, 1 for 280, yeah. So right, on to the Quivering Quencher next. Right. Post work pint on a Friday, you know, your peak quiver there. What's this quenching now?
So a 9 on the Richter scale is 30 trillion tons of dynamite, isn't it?
No, I think you keep changing every week, but yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't care. So will you do me a favor and call back the scores of the three previous Pilsners for me? Because this is a phenomenal beer. I don't want to over egg it. I want to give this score in context of what I gave the other ones.
Okay. So for Bohemian Pilsner, we gave it a 3.9 on the Richter. For 45 Days by Teul, we gave it a 6 on the Richter. And for Trinity Pilsner, we gave it a 1.7 on the Richter.
Okay, so I think Teul was top notch, and in terms of the quencher, and we gave it a 6 out of 9 on the Richter scale, which is actually a very, very good score. So while I think this beer is well up there, I think from the quench factor that Teul was just exquisite.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 5.9.
5.9 on the Richter. Okay, good stuff.
It's definitely more of a ghoul and jig about her than the Teul, but not quite the quench ability.
Yeah.
Nearly there.
I wouldn't say this wouldn't even quench if a fucking plate fell on the floor. I'm going to give it a 0.3 on the Richter.
I was going to say, do you want to give it like a negative score? Like, it would actually make you more...
I actually think I might, yeah. negative 0.5 on the Richter. 0.5 on the Richter, yeah.
This is refreshing because we're always trying to find the good in beer.
Is it refreshing?
No, that's what I'm saying. This is refreshing.
Oh, yeah,
we,
yeah.
We were always trying to bestow the good in beer and look at the... But if it's not doing it for you, sometimes you just need to say it.
No, this is not doing it for me. But maybe it might, you know, I haven't looked at all the categories, you know. I only judge at the time of judging, you know. So
yeah, this scoring tool is too dynamic to preempt.
Yeah, I know, I know. So the next now is your post-pint gasp. So what's that satisfaction rating once you've finished off that pint?
So I think, like, we gave to Ola that spas, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which, again, I'm trying to put in context. I think this is a
single S, is it?
Yeah, it's yeah, a single S, because I think, right, looking at it, and this might play out by the end of it, I think it's a better Pilsner than to Ola.
Yeah.
But that, like, the quench and the gasp for to Ola is phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
A single S, yeah. That's Bass.
Okay, that's Bass. So, that's, yeah. Bass. That's Bass. Right, just real quick, a quicker.
It's, yeah, it's a German one. It's Das Bass.
Das Bass. yeah, so this, let me just have, I need to get the negativity, like the last two categories don't count. It's a new pint, a new drink, a new everything. that wasn't too bad now. Maybe I was trying to, yeah. Maybe I might give it, it's not as good as the Trinity now that we gave. That's, I might just give it a that.
Yeah. There's something there, like, there's something to it in terms of a gaspability.
Yeah, there is. There is something to it now in a gaspability. It's middling, like, you know. Now next one is just the gibber in general now, and we're scoring this out of 5.
Yeah, so this is poured a bit, so so I'm quite happy that there's still some bubble action here, right? Talking about the jib, the head is gone of her, but you're not too worried about that with a Pilsner.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, she's beautiful. See through gold, and like, she's the exact color of your piss when you have that, a good level of hydration. But
and is there a bit of fizz in her now, or
plenty of life in her now when you pour her first?
Yeah,
there's still bubble action now, you know. So, you know, when you get a bit of movement, you get a little bit of a centrifugal force in her there, and a bit of life comes back in the glass, you know. So, what's the jib score again?
Just out of 5.
Oh, yeah. So I'd probably give her 4 jibs out of 5. Like, she looks like a Pilsner should look like. And there's just a beautiful, beautiful see-through goldenness to her. And like, if that came out now in a glass to you, in a pint glass to you on a countertop, you'd be very happy with your choice.
Good stuff, yeah. I tell you, I can't even get mine that going at all. Look,
dead as a doorknob.
Dead as a doorknob. Like, she's as flat now as anything. Like, so, I don't know. Can I even put it on a score? It's, the Jupiter is, you know, you'd be sending it back up now, is what you would, you know. If that was thrown down to you now, you'd be sending that back up. You'd say there's something wrong with your taps.
Do you know that song, Owen? It's a real old song. The Dubliners released it back in the 60s to kind of make it popular. My dad loves singing it. It's a Maids When You're Young, Never Wed an Old Man. you know, like he's got no falorum. He's lost his ding dorum. Like,
oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, that beer looks like it's lost his ding dorum.
It has, yeah. He'll ding dorum a bit again. So yeah, I might just actually give it a 0 on the jib of it.
Do like if it doesn't deserve.
Doesn't even deserve a jib. Like, there's not even a jib in it. Like, so I don't know how I could even give it a jib.
It's got no calorum.
And then puckability now.
Right.
So this is out of 100,000.
Thanks to Shane McNally for that. Yeah. That scale. I think we're not far off. I think we're very, very close.
Oh, Jesus.
And as I say every week, Puck Pilsner to me had that je ne sais quoi,
that joie de vivre,
that en plus tard, that la vie
en prost.
Just had that quelque chose, you know.
Yeah.
And this is more of a ich liebe dich, you know. It's
oh yeah.
But that's not a bad thing in a sense. And I think if we're ranking her out of 100,000 in terms of puckability, like what is puckability? Puckability is the longevity, the ability for it to become your go-to drink in a bar, the ability for you to reach for it when you're given the opportunity, that's what you're going for. The ability to long for it, the ability to be sit there and work at 2 o'clock on a Friday thinking, like not being able to get this bottle or pint out of your head. The ability to, it's like, you know that puppy love when you meet someone that you're infatuated with at the start? It's like that, but you never get into the settled married phase.
Mm.
No offense, wife.
Wife?
And to me, this has huge potential. Huge, huge potential. So we give to all like 60-something thousand, didn't we?
Yeah, 63,274. Yeah. No, sorry. To all we gave 25.
Oh,
To all scored very high on everything else, but
bar puckability. Because they didn't have that. Quelque chose that je ne comprends pas.
Just keep listing all night.
It didn't have that.
This is how we get an hour of a podcast.
There was no pamplemousse ability towards it. But what did we get 60,000 to? Bohemian.
Bohemian, yeah.
Because Bohemian was a great... Yeah, Bohemian was kind of like a bit of fine-tuning and it would be an excellent long-term.
Yeah, it definitely did, yeah.
Whereas I don't think this needs really any fine-tuning. And what I'd love is I love this on draft.
Yeah.
I would love it. So, like, if I could drink it on draft, I'd probably bump this up a bit. But I'm willing to give this 80,001.
80,001.
Yeah.
Good stuff. The audiovisual lager. Do you know what? I'm going to give it -6.
I'll take your word for it.
It doesn't have the puck. Like, there's no puck to it, you know.
In fact, it sounds like it'd turn you off a Pilsner.
It would. That's exactly it. It'd put you off the prowl altogether, you know. You wouldn't, like, you know, it again, it's that thing of like, oh, would you recommend this, you know, or, you know the way we're always saying about like bridging beers or whatever, and you know what's going to get you from the macro to the independent brewer? It's not this. Like, this isn't it. This isn't the bridging beer at all, and it's also not the full flavored punchy mad hatter drink that you also could possibly get. You know, it's not that end of the spectrum. It's the other end. It's it's, you know, now I don't want to be unfair to these guys, because it's not like, I'm not saying it's Dutch gold or anything like that, you know, but it's just disappointing. That's what it is.
It's got no Floren.
No. So with that, I like when we're both scoring, and I think next week we might do one each ourselves. Oh no, sorry, next week I think we'll do one that we'll both taste, and then we might each, even though I don't want to put you through it, but we might each swap from this week's one.
Yeah, yours sounded so bad. I might just drink this again. And
we'll you can just take my scores as gospel.
Yeah. And you, I'd like to see what you think of this Eucharist pills, because
I'm excited.
It's the gospel of the Lord.
We're bringing him in. JC, he's in heavy this week.
He really is.
He's the Finn Dwyer of this week.
It's like when the Beatles compare themselves to Jesus for popularity, we compare Finn Dwyer to Jesus.
That can be the episode title.
Well, I was thinking it's lost this thing, Dorum is the episode title, but we'll jot down a few bits as we go.
So I think we might just take a bit of an ad break here before we go on to the next few topics, if that suits you.
Yeah, I'm happy enough, because I need to get another bottle of this golden nectar.
Okay, guys, catch you in a minute or two after Acast inserts an old ad to whatever.
Probably for Carlsberg and one of us.
Yeah, probably for something like that. So go for it.
Shinny Briherde. Right, lads, we're back in the room. The glasses are full. The bladders are empty. We've had our fag break, and here we are back.
Yeah, speaking of fag breaks, I've just opened the second can of this audiovisual lager here. And it's like drinking an ashtray. What did I say there about the quencher? I gave it a 0.5 on the Richter. Like, it literally just sucks the longing for a pint out of it. Like, you know, there's nothing to finish it off. Like, you get the drink initially, right? And you get that little bit of fizz on the tongue, and you're like, ooh, what's coming now? Nothing. Like, it literally just dries up in your mouth. I don't know. Disappointing.
So,
didn't stop me open up a second can.
Yeah. Well, I was, when we were talking about this a minute ago, I took a picture of my bottle, Eucharist pills, and put it up on my personal Twitter. And I said, bless us, O Lord, for this bounty we are about to receive.
Mm.
And a friend of ours who we used to go to conferences with work-wise, Francis Galvin, who we haven't seen in well over a year because of the pandemic going, replied, what I wouldn't give for a pint and a laugh with you two.
Mm.
Which, you know, brought back some great memories of being in different cities around Ireland and the UK and going and embracing and all this, like, really good research and blah, 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 blah. But then going out and having an absolute crack in these random pubs because we wouldn't know the local area, and just a bunch of Irish idiots getting together, having a bit of grubbing and going on the Raz, having some great pints.
God, there's something to be said, though, isn't there, about like that discoverability of a new city? Do you know when you get there and you're like, you know, there's that kind of intense panicky mayhem in your head when you're like, you know, you leave the hotel and you automatically do this, you know. Yeah. Right, where am I off to? Right, you know, the clap of the hands, the rubbing them together. Right, what are we doing? Where are we going? Like, and none of the group has a clue where you're going. Like, and it's just like, will we go? It, you know, it looks busy down there. Will we go that way? You know, and it's just, you know, going into the randomest pubs that you can find en route. Like, you know,
what I love about that is, like, you know, if we have a conference on in a weekend and say for a weekend and say we went to Manchester one weekend, like you can't do any touristy stuff because you have the conference all day and then you're there with colleagues, so you go for dinner as a group. So like by the time the conference is done during the day and you've gone for the dinner, say at 9 o'clock, so it's not like you're going to a museum or you're going to a park or whatever.
Yeah, no way.
But like, so you're literally like, all you're doing is work-related stuff and then pub.
Nightlife scene, yeah.
And it's just this glorious, like, there are so many cities. And like Manchester is a bad example because it's a big city. And I've been there in a non-work-related fashion. I've been there for leisure too. But there are so many like cities or regional towns even in the UK that I've seen through the prism of their educational facilities and their pubs. And
yeah, but even in terms of like Manchester or Liverpool or something like that, like oftentimes like their conference center and where the hotel you're put up in relation to that is oftentimes like not in an area that you'd be familiar with. And like, you know, you're not going from like your hotel or the conference center, you know, you're not like, you know, bring me in a taxi to a nightclub, you know, because that's not what what's happening. Like, you know, you're going to a pub. So like actually in terms of like Manchester and, you know, or, you know, the bigger cities, even like London and stuff like that, when we went to a conference in Chelsea in London before, like an area that we wouldn't have been, like, you know, it is that just total, like, you're put in the middle of nowhere in relation to you. And like, it's just like, right, like you don't even have a guide or roadmap or a guide as to, like, what's good in this area, which is kind of the magic of it as well, that you kind of just fall into places, you know?
Yeah, I think even, like, I was in Glasgow at one of these things once, and we met, like, we met a colleague over there who was working and living in Glasgow at the time, who some of our group knew, and they were like, oh, these are the really good places we want to go to. And then as the group, we just collectively were like, no, we just find our own places. It was just this magical, like, we all know what experience we have ahead of us, and if we go to like the hip, cool, trendy places that the locals think are cool and trendy, like, yeah, you'll have a good night, but you won't have an adventure.
Yeah.
That unknowing adventure is just absolutely glorious. And even in places that I like Liverpool, where I know really, really well, like when we've gone to Liverpool together and got a nights out in Liverpool where it's just the two of us or maybe you know, a couple of people, I love when we, like, even I'd have a really good knowledge of, say, the bars in Liverpool city centre. I love when we've just gone into somewhere that we know is a dive just for a few quick pints. Like the Blarney Stone in
Liverpool. Oh, yeah.
Like up by the train station, which is just a complete kip. But because I, you know, live near Blarney, we were like, should we go in here for the crack? And I think we got a couple of free points because it said Blarney on my passport or something, didn't we? And like, just...
Yeah. So knock, like, yeah.
Messing with people. So I absolutely love that element of things. But I also, obviously, the thing that you miss the most at the moment is that high stool in a bar, that conversation over pints, that crack, the to and fro, the kind of gallery at the of the high stool, be it the kind of high stool and Phil Grimes where you'd have lads in for an hour, out for an hour, or, you know, like I've often talked about going out with my father in law for a pint where it's like you go to a pub at 8 o'clock and people like rotate between the local pubs. So there's the Thursday pub, the Friday pub, and the Saturday pub.
Mm.
And you'd go in on a Saturday night to a pub with him, and you know who's going to be in there, and you know the kind of characters that are going to be in there, and you stay there for the entire night, and it's just this back and forth of crack and slagging and opinions and arguments all night long. I really miss that. Like, there's a lot to be said for a random, like, nobody knows what this place is going to be like, and we all kind of only half know each other night out but Jesus, like, give me 100 of these nights where you know exactly what's going to happen.
I think that's the magic of it as well, though. And I think that's what we probably take for granted in Ireland as well. Like, I know I've had cousins from America over as well. And, you know, brought them on the kind of generic, we're all just heading to the pub night out, like, you know. And, you know, they were like, well, what do you mean you're heading to the pub? Like, is there, you know, like, what's the event, or, you know, what's the, you know, is there, you know, like, basically, was it nearly like, are you cruising for chicks kind of a thing? Like, you know, and you're like, no, like, this is just literally like a kind of a thing that we do on a weekly, like, you know. But like, one of the things that happened, like, over the course of that night was someone sat down beside us, and, you know, a joke was told about something, and then you have the table beside you going like, oh sure, like, the same thing happened to my aunt, blah 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 blah, and, like, you know, just, you know, like two tables then become one table, and, you know, they join in, and then they can just flit out and unjoin the conversation whenever they want and form their own group again, like, you know. But I remember my cousin being absolutely enthralled with that, you know, that mixing of conversations and people, you know, forming, you know, they're having their own little groups, and then, like, the whole pub is talking together, and then, you know, it goes back down to maybe like three or four different groups. And then, like, you know, even there can be times of silence within the pub as well. Like, not, you know, overall silence, but, like, you know, there can be times where people are just content to be sitting on their own and, you know, just waiting for or thinking up of the next topic or whatever, or enjoying their pint, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, and, like, yeah, that's just an accepted thing that you can do in the pub as well. Or, you know, even, you know, like, there might be a fella reading a book or reading a paper, someone might open a page on a paper, and then you can go, Jesus, you know, reading the headline on the paper then, like, oh, did you see that now, blah 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 blah. So yeah, I think it's definitely something that we take for granted, that social aspect of the pub, that is ingrained in us all, and, like, definitely makes us more sociable animals than a lot of other cultures in the world.
Yeah, I think what you described there, like, is exactly what I miss. It's like when you go to an Irish pub, and I'm not talking about, like, crammed in like sardines to a pub in Temple Bar. I'm talking about going to Phil Grimes or Jacob Welch's or whatever. Like, there's a physical boundary, like, you know, you don't stand right in front of me, or you don't sit on my lap, basically.
No, it's a comfortable level of people in the pub. Like, everyone has a stool or everyone has a seat, like, in the pub.
But there's a physical boundary, but there's no conversational boundary.
Yeah.
And I really miss that. And I was thinking, like, I was looking at the, you know, stuff in the news this week, and I'm looking at the news. I'm trying to do this thing now at the moment where I'm trying to look at the news through the prism of a non-COVID world. And I'm trying to look at the news and think, right, if I was heading into a pub tonight to sit in a high stool, what would the typical characters that you would see in an Irish pub make of this situation? So the big one for me at the moment is the Suez Canal, where the ship is moored. And even every minute detail would be absolutely torn asunder in an Irish pub from start to finish. From the differing reports on how the ship even got stuck there. And I'm thinking, like, you know, what would those conversations be like? Like, what would... Because the Irish pub, the high stool in Ireland, is not a reflection of any one part of Irish society. It's actually quite a broad representation of Irish society, I would say. So, like, you'll have a really conservative, traditionalist person on a high stool. You'll have me, who'd be the opposite end of the spectrum on a high stool. You'd have someone else there with completely different views. So you get these massive global events that have much broader implications for everything. and you'd get every minutiae of detail from how it happened, why it happened, what the implications are, and how you resolve it. And especially the fact that the images of one JCB digger trying to dig a trench out for this. I'm looking at this and I'm not thinking about the impact it's going to have on oil prices or the impact it's going to have on the price of sugar or whatever, any of these kind of things. I'm looking at it thinking about people I'd come across in different pubs and like, what would their take on it be? And would I be like backing them up? Would I be arguing with them? Would I be backing them up on certain things and arguing with them on other things? And I can picture the fellas coming in. Do you know the lads that arrive in the pub in the work pants on a Friday evening, as if they've been on a site or something, and they come in and they're like all, Jesus, long week, and they sit down and they haven't even gone home and showered and changed. But like when they talk to people that work with them, they do fuck all, you know. And them lads who would, oh, I know exactly how to fucking get that ship back floating again, you know. And they'd come up with some completely flawed theory, like. And I'm trying to view the news through the prism of the variety of perspectives from the high stool.
Yeah, I think that the lads on the high stool as well. So what I tend to notice when I'm on the high stool, right, is that you tend to have one perspective, right? So each person kind of has one perspective, right? So you ever only go like, you know, so we'll take the Suez Canal now, right? We'll say, right, so, like, if I was in there now, I go, oh, Jesus, like, you know, sure, wouldn't the lad know if just, like, how do you run aground now? Like, sure, you know, like, as I was always told, like, you always keep the back arse of the ship, you keep her straight, and you guide her in, like, you know, like, complete nonsense, like, you know. So, like, I'd come along with that point, and then you'd come along, right? So you'd have one combating argument against me, right? And you go, ah, no, you know, your man's not fully to blame now. Like, you know, there's an awful wind there in the Suez. Like, it's got, you know, it's known for, it, the Suez Canal is known for the wind, like, you know, and sure, you know, many a smaller ship would have ran aground there, but... You know, it's only the fact that this lad is, you know, it's a big bastard that it's causing such a hassle, you know. And then, you know, I'd come back then, but it's always only like a kind of a tit for tat. Like, so, you know, whoever's the bastard now comes in now and goes, you know, well, you know, it, you know, and has 3 points lined up. Like, you know, that's a, like, you know, there's no need for that lad now. Like that, you know, that lad is just showing off, a fellow who has, you know, 3 points to try and back it up. Like, you know, whereas... If you go in there and, you know, it's just tit for tat, like, that's how you get a good conversation going in a pub, like, you know, because the fella now with, you know, three points to argue it, like, he'll just shut the whole thing down because, you know, the lads don't have enough guff now to keep that argument going, you know.
And I love then the way, like, mid-argument, there'd be these, like, unifying things that would bring everyone together to laugh around. So, like, I don't know if you've seen it, Owen, but there's this gif going around at the moment of, you know, the hallway scene in Austin Powers.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But they just superimposed the boat on it. And, like, I could just picture some owl lad who, like, you know, the fella who'd be passing around the phone that has it on it. Maybe picture the owl lad taking the glasses then, like the fella who can't really use the phone. And
what's going on with here? What the fuck are you laughing at?
And like, I love
Todd. Todd would be there.
Todd would be there.
Where am I? What are you doing?
But like, I love the fact as well there that, you know, like, you know, sometimes there, like, the old lad then will grab the phone, like, you know, and he won't, like, even still, he won't have a clue what your what the reference is or what you're laughing at. What are you lads on about at all? Like, you know, just like, has no clue. And like, it's that unifying moment then where, like, you know, everybody who was like initially given out about the Suez Canal is now like laughing at Todd or Rod or Sod or whatever about him not having a clue how a phone works or like how, like, or understanding like what this GIF was about at all, like, you know. So
yeah, just not getting a reference. But and then, like, what I love about that is you'll have to get the old fella that see the gif with the boat super implanted, and he won't get it. So someone will show him like the original clip, and then he'll be like trying to tell you how like in Austin Powers they could have like, sure, he's doing this all wrong.
The argument now has gone on to like how your man in Austin Powers could have got through, like.
But the thing then is like, and I can see how these arguments would develop, and you'd go on about the Suez Canal, and then someone will bring up shipping, and like depending on what part of the country you're in, then you'll have some fella that'll think he knows a lot about shipping, and he'll start talking about that, and then he'll talk about freight, and I don't know if you've seen the stuff doing around on social media at the moment, but the shortage. The upcoming shortage in the world of sex arses is definitely one of the biggest fallouts.
Sorry, now what is a sex arse?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What did you say? Did you say sex arts?
Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen it on social media, but basically there's this recurring theme to everything that's withholding supply to the UK, essentially. So the first story, the first thing that they got this international print was Brexit. When Brexit,
so, hold on, roll back. What in God's name is sex arts?
All right, and I'm only taking this from like Daily Mail articles and stuff like this, not from personal experience. But it's basically a synthetic arse.
All right, okay.
That like, I suppose if you don't
you plow a field with,
yeah, you, yeah, it's a sex toy, for want of a better phrase.
Okay.
But basically with Brexit, there was this fella did an interview, he had ordered like a heap of these sex arses to import into the UK.
Sex arses, that has to be a name list this episode.
But they got stuck in Calais post Brexit, and he was like complaining that he couldn't get his sex arses into the UK. But apparently there's a heap of these sex arses on the ship in the Suez Canal. So now, not only has Brexit caused the delay in the supply of sex arses to the UK, but the Suez Canal unintentional blockade is also hampering this vibrant industry in the United Kingdom.
I'd say it's not the only blockade those sex arses are going to get.
Anyway, moving swiftly on from the sex arses. So there are some hot topics out there at the moment, and one of the most polarizing topics in a pub is sport. And like some of my most recent memories of pubs are really good ones. Like I think back to pre pandemic, watching darts with Niamh's father in the pub. And actually, I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before, maybe, where the female dart thrower got into like the quarterfinals or something. And I remember watching that match that she was beaten in a pub with him and his best friend, Shem. And like just the crack while that was on. And so sport is a polarizing thing in a pub. It's something that often really pits people against each other and can turn vicious too, can really turn vicious. And something that I think would be, and again, trying to look at what's happening at the moment through the prism of a non-COVID world, we're in a pub discussing these events. Imagine the Irish football team were beaten by Luxembourg 1-0 and you watch it in a pub on a high stool with a load of our lads and our ones around you.
Yeah, like, again, I definitely think, because even outside of the pub environment now, that's such a polarizing thing at the moment of you know, like Irish football and Stephen Kenny's performance as manager. So, you know, again, like harping back to that, that polarizing view of, you know, you're either all in or all out on him. So, you know, there's no one going, ah, you know, he's all right or whatever. You know, it is like, you know, he had a bad bunch of lads coming in. There's a lot of injuries. You know, he's doing his best. And then there's the other side then of, sure, like that lad is hopeless. Like, sure, you know, we got rid of Mick McCarthy and, you know, look how well he's doing now and blah, blah, blah. So it's definitely one, and I'd love to be in the fucking middle of it now just to grasp onto it and just, you know, what I love about those arguments as well in the pub is I love being I love having an opinion in them, right? I never ever feel very strongly about anything that's going on in the pub. And I love it when lads in the pub do end up feeling really strongly about those things, because I can sit back and relax and I can probe. I can just take whatever side that is going to get the most entertainment out of it for me. Like, you know, so I can go, I don't know about that now. Like, you know, yeah, like Stephen Kenny, you know, he had a great record with Dundalk, but you know, what's he done on, you know, they gave him the job too early. And I'd love to see a lad just flip, you know, on me. And I'd love taking that heat in the pub, like, cause that's the thing about the pub as well. Like, it's all, everybody knows that nobody means it with any maliciousness or anything like that, that it's all just like good natured discussions in a pub. Like, so I love being like just antagonistic in the pub as well.
That's because I think there's certain people have their pub personality and like, you're an agitator. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
You just want to stir it. Like, you'll say stuff you don't believe in for the crack.
Just to hear I think it's even to hear, I think it's nearly to bring out the passion in others more, you know. It's to hear fully their side of the story. And like, actually, it's sometimes they'll actually probably bring out a better point because of it, you know.
They're forced to make a better one because you're agitating.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because like there's other pub personalities. My uncle Burr, who I absolutely adore, is just the greatest to have these like few canned debates on. Because if I told him that the night sky is black and the moon is white, he would have to tell me that the moon was black and the night sky was white. Like, he's the pub personality that no matter what you say, he'd have to disagree and debate it with you to the nth degree. It's just his personality. And then you've got the person who will just agree on both sides.
Yeah.
And will just be like, yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, yeah, that's a good point too. I didn't think about that. And they won't actually contribute themselves, but just for that kind of, there's the type of personality, and I see it in pubs around Ireland. There's the type of personality who just doesn't really care.
Yeah, no.
So appreciative of being included in the conversation. And like, they're the people that I'm always like, oh, I'm so like, I'll always ask them or go to them, try and involve them in the wider discussions in a pub, because you can just tell that that personality is just so fucking happy to be out and socializing. And again, has this grow for the crack, the debate.
They're just enjoying it, aren't they? They're just enjoying the debate. Like,
yeah. And it's like, you know, there's just these characters in everyone's life who, when you go to the pub and you're sitting on that high stool and you talk about, like we mentioned Steve and Kenny there, like, I think the pub is the perfect antidote to, say, social media, Facebook, Twitter, where, like, it's completely toxic. You go on social media tonight and, like, you know, some people would have Steve and Kenny shot with a rifle. Mm. Other people would argue that, you know, all the Irish football's demise is purely down to them pumping hundreds of millions into John Delaney and his crack instead of the youth infrastructure. And you flesh that debate out, and like I don't think this is the forum for that debate. I'm not going to get into what I think about that, really.
Yeah. Actually, do you know what's another personality? And I think it could have been, was it your granddad that kind of reminds me of it? But it's the chap that he sits back, right, and he listens to everything, right? And it's kind of that, it's that kind of maybe logical mindset. So listens in, takes in everybody's point, you know, and takes in what everyone's saying, and he's sipping away, and he won't say anything, but he'll come out with, you know, that one killer line, you know, and he'll shut the pub up with that one line, you know, and then he probably won't say another word then for the night or whatever, or, you know, he won't say another word in that conversation or in that debate. He might go on and he might chat to other lads or whatever, but he'd just, you know, sit down and he'll consume everything and he'll just go, do you know what, you know, and then have that killer line that'll just shut everybody up, you know.
Yeah, you're dead right to mention my granddad there, because he's the type of man that, like you said, he'll have that one line, he'll let everyone have their say, and then he'll do the killer line.
Yeah.
He also has this magic ability to be fully in one of those conversations without actually offering an opinion.
Yeah.
And with reserving his opinion, you know, it's this amazing capacity to not give too much away but still be fully involved. He's got this real old school storytelling style as well, when he's the one telling the story, that just, you don't, he's got this ability to shutting people up.
Yeah,
like, you know, when he speaks, you're like hooked on every word. Got this capacity to deliver a story in a way that just pulls everyone in, and those characters, that essence, that multi-character universe condensed into a pub, I think is a much healthier forum for debate and discussion around topics like the Suez Canal or Stephen Kenny or any other things. Dan, like, you know, social media, where you have to condense what you say into 140 characters, or like, you know, you can have an anonymous account say something really abusive.
Well, I actually think that if the polls were open, I don't want to be that person, but it, you know, if there was that outlet for people to release some of the thoughts and, like, you know, get rid of some of those nonsense takes that they have in a pub, because, you know, a pub will never inhibit themselves from shutting you down in a nice way, but, like, you know, in going like, ah, that's nonsense now, don't, you know, you can't be saying that, like, blah blah blah, like. I definitely think if there was that release for the person who has thought of this thing and has bottled this thing up and, like, you know, has this experience or whatever, to release it in a pub argument, I actually think that there would be a lot less online abuse and stuff, because, yeah, like, that's, people's outlet at the moment. That's a lot of people's only outlet at the moment. So I think if you were to, you know, not have that bottled up and be able to, like, you know, hash that out with people in real life, I think there'd be a lot less of that going on, you know, of like people actually sharing ideas, because it's very hard to, for people, even on, in an online environment, to notice tone or, you know, be able to understand context of like arguments and whatever. So, you know, like how many words or how many characters have we spoken now over the course of this, over this conversation, you know, compared to the 140 or 280 characters that Twitter allows you to make, you know?
I think even if, like, the fluidity of conversation in a pub or like what we're doing here, but say if we were in a high stool, the fluidity of conversation allows you to realize that you're not always polarized against the same individual every single time. So, for example, if we were in a high stool tonight in a pub, we could be discussing Stephen Kenny and be on completely opposite ends of the discussion. But then the nature of a pub is the topic moves, the topic flows, it changes. And then we could be discussing, like, you know, other news that happened in the last week or two. So say, for example, Murray Walker died, the Formula One commentator, who, like, as a big Formula One fan for me, is like an icon in sport, even though he didn't actually partake in the sport, but his voice is synonymous with Formula One. And I think a lot of Irish people as well will know Murray Walker because, you know, we didn't have Sky growing up or whatever, especially people our age. So you were introduced, RTE showed Formula One every couple of weeks, but BBC, or was it BBC or ITV, showed it every week.
So ITV, yeah.
Yeah, so if you didn't get it on RTE with George Hamilton doing the commentary, and it was George Hamilton, who was very good on the commentary, you'd get Murray Walker, who was this massive icon. So, like, Murray Walker was, say, someone that everyone would be in tune with. So we could completely disagree on Stephen Kenny, say, and then someone could bring up, ah, Jesus, old Murray Walker died, you know, 97 was a grand age, and blah blah blah, could go on, talk about it. And then the common, essentially, like, you could picture how it would go in a pub, it would dissolve into, you know, someone would say, sure, look, I'd be the type of person might say Murray Walker is the greatest commentator in any sport ever, right? We could have completely disagreed and been on polar opposite sides of the Stephen Kenny debate, but then we could be on the exact same side and say the greatest sports commentator of all time debate that might happen 5 minutes later in a pub, and us disagreeing on Stephen Kenny is forgotten because now we're agreeing on Murray Walker, arguing with someone across the bar about it who's trying to say Martin Tyler is the greatest sports commentator ever. You know what I mean? And then I could be vehemently against this and you could be backing me up. And, you know, I think in a pub, while individual conversations can be polarized, it's much quicker. It's much less, like, debates on social media are kind of compartmentalized into these threads. And on that thread, you're either one or the other and you're X or Y, but there's no fluidity to it. And there's this certain level of anonymity and an impersonality associated with these kind of debates that occur in pubs. Whereas in a pub, you're more than likely debating with someone you know or someone that you half know, and you're able to have that fluidity between conversations that allows you to keep a humanistic side to the debate. I think that's invaluable. Like,
oh, definitely. Yeah. And like, I think you're totally right, as in there's something to be said about, I think it's that thing of, like when you're in an online forum and you're after making a comment, right? And like, you see it all the time with celebs or whatever, you know, some celebrity will post post a tweet or will post a photo or whatever, and then, you know, they'll get, you know, out of 100 replies, 99 will be good and one will be, oh, you know, some slur or whatever, right? And it's that one that's going to land with them. So first of all, you're not going to get that that slur in a pub or anything like that, well, in most pubs anyway, you're not going to get that slur back at you or anything. But I think also as well, you maybe thrive a bit more on the positive comments in a pub environment than you do on a negative, because I don't think the negatives are as much. So I think you are a bit like geared up by people going, do you know what? Yeah, you're dead right. You know, yeah, Murray Walker, he was an absolute legend. And like, I remember, and like, you know, they'll tell their time then. So like you end up feeling like that, you know, you've initiated this conversation, that you've, you know, you've become the basis of like this person regaling in their experience of like Murray Walker or whatever, you know. So I think it's a very nice experience for you as the speaker, and very rewarding to be the person who has, you know, who has like initiated conversations and has like, you know, told a story in a pub. And like, I think there is a, regardless of the pub and the Irish pub environment anyway, that like people are always like, go on, you know, even if someone is struggling through a story or whatever, so everyone is kind of backing them to tell their bit and, you know, to keep going. And it is lovely. Like I always really do enjoy it, of like, even if someone's kind of like forgotten half story or stumbling over like bits and pieces, you know, someone will come in and, you know, they'll go, you know, say this oftentimes happens as well, you know, where someone is maybe struggling through a story and they go, oh, I can't remember now, was it June 2020, or was it maybe, it could have been August 2020. And, you know, someone will come in and then go, ah, yeah, that was the summer of 2020. Yeah. You know, and, you know, they'll just kind of get them rolling on with the story, you know, and just, you know, making it really nice for people to be able to speak their mind in a pub, you know, or just speak their mind in general.
It's like one of the best debates I ever saw in a pub was about, what had a greater area, the goalpost, soccer goalpost, or GAA goalpost? And it was this like ferocious debate, which is really entertaining. But it was pure muck, like pure nonsense.
Pure, yeah.
I think the debate came about like someone said, someone missed a penalty in a Gaelic football match or something. And someone said, oh, you shouldn't miss penalties. And then someone else said, well, you should never miss a penalty in a soccer goal because it's way bigger than a Gaelic football goal, but you can understand it with the Gaelic footballer. Do you know, something along them lines? And then it went, like, the place erupted. And I was like, this complete nonsense. But what I loved what you said there about the positivity in the pub versus social media, right? If someone says something outrageous to you in a pub, or replies to something that you've put out there with something really negative, or something that could be construed as personal, there's no doubt that, you know, everyone in a pub is going for a piss every 10 or 15 minutes. So when that person goes up to the bar, goes for a piss, someone's going to turn around and say, "Are my team, he's only a bollocks anyway."
Yeah.
You don't get that on social media. Like, you know, you don't get someone putting something out there saying an opinion and then someone replies with something personal or causing injury or something. Like, you don't get someone sliding into your DM saying, "Don't mind that person, they're only in Egypt," you know?
Yeah.
So like there's I thought that was an excellent point. And it's making me have a great wanderlust for the pubs of Ireland again.
I know. I'm really longing for them. Like it definitely is that I just do love that conversation and that ability to, you know, not say what you want, because, or not even say what you want, but like, as in, you know, speak your mind in the pub a bit, because, you know, people will help you, or they will guide you along nicely in terms of whether you're right or wrong as well, you know. Like, as you said there, if you say something that's like completely off field, you know, people will often go, what are you talking about? Like, you can't say that, like, or whatever. And, you know, where is your evidence for that? You know, people would call you out and then, you know, people get found out quite quickly in a pub as well, because they go, my aunt now, like, the same thing happened to her, like, you know, and you're just like, oh, whatever. And then again, you know, when they head off to the Jacks, then, you know, someone will go, his aunt me bollocks, like, there's no way that happened to her, or, you know, he's talking fucking shite, like, you know. So it is a means of, like, actually cutting the fat in those conversations. And yeah, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Like, and I am really missing the pubs. And it is for the social element, because our, you know, like it or love it, you know, there's, you know, big grievances around, like, pub culture in Ireland as well. But for the social aspect of it, it is second to none.
Yeah, but even at that, like, you know, I think, and we've had this conversation on a podcast before, and we'll have it many times again, and we'll come back to it. Like, the grievances around pub culture in Ireland is often around the culture of binge drinking, which I mean, to me, isn't pub culture. Like, pub culture is conversation, socializing, and having, you know, 5 or 6 pints, but that being it, as opposed to, like, you know, what people associate with problematic relationships with alcohol. And I think, you know, what we often miss is, and I've seen it with, you know, relatives, say, who don't go to the pub anymore, but they might actually drink more at home, or, you know, so I think there's this, like, fine balance. And I think an awful lot of people are missing that, just that crack camaraderie. And even, like, you know, when you're a younger person going to the pub and trying to sit in the high stool is actually quite an important thing. And, you know,
it's an intimidating spot as well. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're a young lad now and, you know, you're coming in, like, you know, everybody gets a grilling at the high stool, but it's laughing it off and, you know, knowing that, you know, the joke is never malicious or anything like that. It's always, you know, you're just bound to get a good jeering at when you're at a high stool. So it's nearly like being at a stand-up comedy gig, you know, and sitting in the front row, you know.
But as well, it's this kind of thing of, like, you know, acceptance. And, you know, look, like you said, people have different opinions on this or about different aspects of pub culture. But, you know, there are these high stools, and I've certainly lived in areas where certain people sat in certain places, and, you know, you basically had to be invited. But when you got that acceptance, and, you know, maybe that's not too healthy in a certain aspect too, but, you know, there'd be people there who'd be having these debates, and you'd be sitting on the chairs, and you'd be kind of half hearing it and half hearing the crack, and you'd want to engage, but you feel like, I'm not ready yet, or I'm not well, you know, it's not my place. And then when you might, you know, for me, it happened one time when I was living in Tower, where, you know, I went in early after work one day for a bit of food, and I had it at the bar, and I just happened to be sitting at the stool as people filtered in, and I just happened to end up at the high stool. And it was almost like that was a Friday, and the following Friday when I went in later on that evening, they had kept the stool for me. And one of the old lads was like, come up and sit up with us here now. And it was just that, like, you know, that real, like, fuck it, I've made it now, you know, this is great. Like, and
yeah.
You know, and then you find your voice, and you have to realize, like, you know, but even those dynamics, like, you know, it's not always your turn to speak, and everyone needs a fair crack of the whip and stuff. And it's a magical, it's like, sociologists should be studying Irish pubs. Like, there should be multiple PhDs done on the Irish pub.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, the little mini social interactions that occur there and stuff like that. And, like, and as well, the publican's like this psychologist, sociologist, like, mad figure in an awful lot of parts of Ireland, you know? And the thing is, an awful lot of people are missing out on that at the moment. So I think it's interesting to look at the news and think, what the fuck, how would this be received in these pubs? You know, it's a worthwhile exercise every now and again.
Like, that's actually, like, so dead true that, like, you know, like how much, like, I don't want to be, don't be knocking psychologists now or anything, like, but, like, how much of,
<It's shite. laughs>
but, like, how much of their job is to be an active listener, right, rather than actually having any intervention out of it, like, how, you know, how much of their job is actually people like get enabling people to spill their guts or to, you know, to talk about what's bothering them or talking about what's on their mind. I would say 75-80% of their job is probably that. Like, yeah. I haven't a notion, but like, that's what I would see most of the cathartic and therapeutic benefit of it is actually getting stuff off your chest and like actually realize, you know, if you have problems, it's about talking about it. And a barman like will actually do that like 7 days a week for quite cheap.
2 pints an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So like I know we're having a bit of a laugh at that, but like there's definitely something to be said about it as well. Like, you know,
there's a lot of truth in it. And I look forward to the day where I can, you know, where you get to have these debates and have this crack and I have all the multiple different pub experiences, have the pub experience in the random bars and in the UK at conferences after conferences and stuff like that, had the experience of Phil Grimes and the pubs in Ballybone and Leash and the pubs of Waterford and Kilcullen again. You know, that's the dream. And hopefully we won't be too long waiting. But that's been a great conversation. Like, we actually have very little prepared for tonight, and it turned into like this super conversation about what we miss most about pub life. I think you guys can get us all on all the regular social media feeds: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Snowcast. You can get us on patreon.com/Snowcast if you want to give us money to help upgrade equipment. When the pubs come back, we'll be able to get to more diverse pubs. And we want to get to the pubs that we featured in the Last Call series. If you're new to the Snowcast, go back and listen to the Last Call series and the Candemic series from late last year. If you haven't, I think it'd be well worth your while. They were a particularly good series for us, I do think. And it's been a fucking pleasure to be drinking these pilsners here with you tonight. I look forward to coming back next week to have some more. And Owen, parting words for the listeners.
My parting words this week are just to remind everyone that it's been tough for charities in the last year to fundraise, that they've found it difficult because a lot of fundraising is in shops and in-person bucket collecting kind of stuff. So two charities that I'd be quite involved with would be the Irish Cancer Society, any of the cancer societies really, or cancer fundraising. Please donate. They find it quite difficult, and a lot of the nurses who would do home help and stuff, it's really important for them to get funded in order to be able to provide those services for end of life care and stuff like that in patients' homes. So please do that. And another one as well is the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind, something that I'm involved in as well. So it costs about €55,000 for an Irish for a guide dog to be raised to be a guide dog. 85% of their funding is reliant on donations. 15% is provided by the government. So please, if you can, please donate to the Irish Guide Dogs as well. That's my parting words.
Yeah, I'd completely echo that. So you can go to donate.cancer.ie to donate to the Irish Cancer Society. they provide the services they provide are completely invaluable. They provide night nurses to people in their last hours of life who need nursing care overnight so that they can die with dignity in their own home, and that's really important. And for the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind, you can go to guidedogs.ie/donate for them. As someone said, cost huge amounts of money just to train a guide dog, and again, they're another invaluable service. And just to give context to the impact of COVID on fundraising, it's been daffodil day recently for the Irish Cancer Society, and in 2019 Irish Cancer Society raised €4 million in 2020 because of COVID, and daffodil day being cancelled in 2020, that dropped to just €2 million, so their funding was cut in half. So if you have, do you know what? If you have a spare few pound, throw it to them, please. This month, it would be much appreciated. And another shout out just for another, if you're in the Southeast, another charity that's close to our hearts is the Solace Cancer Support Centre here in the Southeast as well. So look, fuck it, great shout there on. Lovely note to finish the podcast on. Support your local charity. And again, just before we leave, another thing that pubs would do would throw an old box up on the counter for these charities and collect money for them. And every penny counts. So another source of income missed for these charities as pubs being closed. So any money you would have given over the year to these charities in a pub box, maybe just throw an old Revolut or an old bank transfer to any of these charities. So thanks for that. Great way to end the podcast on. Slánchan, guys.
Slánchan, guys. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.